Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to Mess with MS on Brain Injury Radio. Brain Injury Radio is committed to brain injury awareness. During the week, we have shows that run from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. On Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, our shows run from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific. This show airs on the network and across the United States in 36 countries. My name is Lisa Dreyer. I came to Brain Injury Radio Network in 2015 after first appearing on Blog Talk Radio, which is also our affiliate network. As an actress performing, I was diagnosed with MS, or multiple sclerosis, during my journey, and it certainly changed my life. I call my show Mess with MS for many reasons, but mostly because MS is only one of the chronic conditions that I have. I belong to the Brain Injury Radio Network because my first diagnosis was a brain injury that I suffered from at birth, where, due to the lapse care of a neonatal nurse, I had a cardiac arrest as a preemie. That caused a brain injury. Over the course of my lifetime, I have been diagnosed with lupus, concussion, TBI, and a host of other issues. But I also am and have been a writer, a teacher, an actress, an animal lover, a volunteer, a friend, and a proud Brain Injury Radio host. And tonight, I would like to introduce you to my boyfriend, Chris Morris, Christopher Morris, and who I've been dating for about 5 years. And he was on my show once before, at the beginning of our relationship. But he is always inspirational to me, and he's got a lot of good information. He also has multiple sclerosis, and I think this is a great Valentine's Day, quote-unquote, episode, because he is my significant other, and he also has MS, and he knows a lot. So we share a lot with each other, and we can share a lot as a couple, perhaps with you guys. Okay, so Chris, tell them a little bit about yourself, to start.
I was diagnosed with MS when I was 31, so that was 16 years ago. And since then, it's become clear that I've had a lot of health problems in my life that were autoimmune in nature. It's been an interesting journey since that initial diagnosis. I was hit really hard right off the bat. depression when I that led to my MS diagnosis, and it actually it knocked out part of my vision, part of my visual field. It just doesn't exist anymore, and it paralyzed half my face. I had to relearn how to talk. I had to relearn how to do many things, how to type. It's the right half of my body is somewhat numb. You know, there's a billion different things that happened in this initial exacerbation, and it made the diagnosis easy. You know, they did
a spinal tap and the MRI,
where it showed just a ton of lesions, including a massive one that were almost in like the right center of my brain. It's about as big as like a small walnut. I just got hit hard, you know, but it started this journey where I started learning about autoimmune disease and all the other kind of things that could come from it, like depression, anxiety, which I've also had issues with, and going on to now, where like the last few years I've had a really hard time. I mean, I obviously rehabilitated the ability to speak. Initially, my speech was so slurred that no one could understand me. I would have to write things out, basically. And writing is hard for me, too, just due to hand damage on MS. But, I'm kind of, like, fast-forwarding through, like, 16 years of autoimmune disease. But, you know, the last 3 years, I developed, like, I mean, I always had pretty bad fatigue from MS, I assume, and I'm sure it is at least partially due to MS, but the last 3 years, I started reacting to food. Like every time I eat, it makes me flush,
and
my cheeks flush, and the brain fog is on another level. It's like MS times five, and it can get pretty brutal at times. So it's, you know, the last 3 years have been just a journey of trying to figure that out. You know, via the functional medicine clinic at the Cleveland Clinic. And, wow, I mean, there's so much. I mean, I don't even know where to start. You know.
Well, so other than MS, what conditions? You were talking about functional medicine, but
you
learned that you have other conditions. And so how did you start learning about these other conditions? How did you start going to a place like functional medicine? I mean, that was a journey in and of itself.
Right. Yeah. Well,
how did that start? I mean, that's a very long journey. And I have been there for it. But, I mean, that's a very interesting thing. And, I mean, it was a long and technical one,
and the whole thing. What started was that I went to meet with my neurologist, and you know, I was just complaining about that brutal fatigue that I was having. I'm not even sure I had tied it to food at that point. I had fatigue that was just laying me out, just so bad. Like, or
I couldn't sleep for hours. I just had to lie on the couch, and I could.
My brain fog was so bad I could barely even like read. You know, I mean, you know, I like playing video games and stuff like that, and I couldn't even do that. Like, my brain couldn't concentrate on anything. It just didn't. I guess I just had so much inflammation going on. So,
long
story short, you know, I went to my neurologist, and she, actually, my neurologist assistant was the one who kind of kicked it off, because I was, you know, describing the level of fatigue I was going through and how brutal it was, and she said, you know, I think you have the worst fatigue out of any of our patients. And I don't know how many patients that my neurologist has, but it's, you know, my neurologist is at the Mellon Center of the Cleveland Clinic, which is a renowned center for MS. And, you know, I would guess, I mean, I really have no idea, but I would guess they would have hundreds of patients. And if I am the worst one out of all of them as far as fatigue, and you have to remember that, like, as far as, like, other symptoms
with MS, like,
I can still walk, I can still run, it's challenging, but I can still do it. Like, I'm pretty moderate, right? So you know, as far as everything else, yeah, I've got MS and I've got it really bad, but to be the worst one and fatigue-wise just kind of didn't add up. And that's what she said. You know, she's like, you better go talk to some of the doctors because your fatigue is just out of control. And I don't know why I went to the functional medicine clinic. It probably was just doing a lot of, like, Google searches and, you know, how we all explore our health issues with the wonders of the Internet. And maybe that's where I heard of functional medicine. And I guess I probably started looking at things like chronic fatigue syndrome and stuff that's kind of, like, out of, like, the traditional purview of, like, traditional medicine.
The norm, yeah.
Yeah, so the only places that really get into that kind of stuff would be things like functional medicine and maybe brain fog tonight, so I can't think of the other things, but, just
that's okay.
Medicine. Yeah, so I was like, wow, I figured that not many functional medicine clinics in the country. It's, like, fairly new, probably over the last 20 years or so, maybe more than the last 10. But, you know, fortunately for me, the Cleveland Clinic has an actual functional medicine clinic. So I went there, you know, to try and see what their doctors would say because, the traditional doctors, I was out of options there. And I was looking at probably having to go live in some kind of care home or something because I was just that. I was pretty close to non-functional. You can't really drive a car and go get yourself groceries or make food or clean or go to doctor's appointments or any of that stuff if you can't even read a book. I mean, if your brain is that insane. It was really bad. And I still go through that some days. Well, pretty often. I'm used to it. But I just know how, you know, we're now like three years into this, and then now I've got a lot more insight as to what most likely, you know, trigger all this and how to treat it, you know.
It's really interesting because MS and chronic know about MS causing fatigue, or at least they should, but chronic fatigue is something that most people don't know that much about or don't real. But chronic fatigue is very much real, and there is a certain percentage of people that do have chronic fatigue who also have MS, and it can be a handicap for people in the multiple sclerosis community who do have chronic fatigue and multiple sclerosis. And if you have both, it's a type of encephalitis, actually. It's called myalgic encephalomyelitis. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right, but it's myalgic encephalomyelitis, and that's a chronic fatigue syndrome, and that's specifically for MS, and that's only 0.09% of the MS population who has that type of chronic fatigue. And so there is a type of chronic fatigue just for MS. And I will testify that you have incredible fatigue. And
fatigue is the most common symptom of MS, right? It's the most often reported symptoms. I mean, I can't remember the exact numbers, but something like 90% probably or 80+% of people with MS
report fatigue as a symptom. But things like chronic fatigue syndrome or I would just call ME
That is almost like kind of like, it's not quite a mystery disease, but it's like MS. There's nobody pins it on. There's no like single source that's known that causes it, as far as I know. Medicine doctor, the first one I saw came up with was she said it was most likely mold exposure.
Okay.
And I never even heard of this, right? So this is all brand new to me, and I'm pretty well versed in it now because I've read bazillion books on it.
We both are.
Yeah, I mean it's really actually, it's drastically altered the course of our lives, actually, because
it has.
Our house, essentially, because we live in, Ohio, and the winters are cold, the pipes burst, and dumped, like, I don't know, 100 gallons or 50 gallons worth of water from the third floor all the way down to our house. And we didn't think much of it at the time. I mean, water was, like, pouring through the ceiling in the kitchen, and we were just collecting it in buckets and putting it down the sink kind of thing.
But
unbeknownst to us, that is actually real dangerous, especially for people with
autoimmune conditions.
Yeah, so we just got a real hardcore education in mold illness and why it's dangerous and the kind of effects that it has. And it made our house uninhabitable, and we decided to
go
buy a small RV just because
we were poor, and we've got some savings and whatnot, but this is not how much income. It's hard to go away to house and go away into the hills or something like that.
So we ended up going RVing around the country and going, trying to figure, we actually started traveling at first to figure out better, especially me, if I felt better when I was outside of the house, because, a doctor tells you that,
to figure out anything.
To basically travel and see if you felt better. And fortunately, it we did, you know, especially me. You know, you're having a lot of, like, seizure activity and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't prove that. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that I do have evidence that mold is having a big factor in it because I had a urine test, and which showed that I had mycotoxins coming out of me, and that's not supposed to happen. Your body is supposed to be able to process it at a rate that it doesn't end up in your urine or anything like that. And
hello, and wait,
level,
thank you for coming to tonight's show.
Was about, I don't know, maybe 20 times what is typical of even someone on us.
What?
Well, I can't hear the jump line. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not loud enough. So there's things, and I was tested for everything else under the sun. The functional medicine doctor pulled 18 vials of blood in one sitting. I've never gone through that many blood tests at once, and she tested me for all sorts of things like a lot of, like, herpes virus things and, like, Lyme disease, like, co-infections, like, these obscure diseases, babesia that I've never heard of. Just trying to rule out all these different things. And so at the end of all that, and Lyme disease is a whole other thing, and that's actually not totally ruled out. It's just made less likely by, you know, all the testing that I've been through. So we ended up with mold being, you know, the prime suspect. And, you know, so, you know, we go to Arizona, and because my mom and my stepdad have a house out there, so we can go out there and stay for free. And then we spend a lot of time outside, and I start feeling better. Or we go drive down to Florida and spend some time in Cocoa Beach and or California on the ocean. And I start feeling, you know, a lot better. We even went out to, like, Tucson in our RV, and we stayed out there for, you know, a month and a half or so. You know, I just tried to get out as much as I could, you know, be outside in clean environments. And my body starts to rehabilitate, and I get to just clearing out the mycotoxins and kind of calming down all, you know, the constant inflammatory reaction. It's kind of like one of the things that came along with it is that, I mean, I don't know how deep you want to get into all this stuff, so just tell me to shift subjects anytime you want. But basically what happens is mycotoxins, especially if you can't process them that well, they can make it so your gut becomes more permeable by food. And so your food gets into your bloodstream, which combines with, like, the inflammation that you already have from the mycotoxins. It's a poison, right? It freaks out your immune system. And so it just becomes a cascade of all these bad effects, and that's what causes, like, a lot of the brain fog and the flushing, and, like, the it makes it hard to sleep. It ramps up your you have, like, a kind of almost like a always on fight or flight response, because your innate immune system, like your primitive immune system, is 100% activated all the time, so your body can't calm down. And I couldn't sleep that well, and your sleep is, like, low quality, and so that makes your fatigue even worse, and then you get stressed out because you can't function, you can't even drive to the grocery store, and just, oh, man, it's terrible, right? I mean, it's really bad. You know, so luckily I've made some progress, you know, since you know, the worst of it, you know, but,
an extremely hard time, but being out in the trailer did help, and I think it helped us emotionally as well, and it proved to us that we were strong enough to do something like that. It was amazing to be a couple with MS. I mean, we're two disabled people. Not only do we have MS, we have these comorbidities, and we were able to go out on the road and do this thing. I mean, like, my doctors, I used to have an RV, and my doctors told me that I would never be able to do that again. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was able to do it again. I mean, like, I mean, I wasn't alone like I was before, but we got a travel trailer, and here we are. We're on the road again, and we lived in that travel trailer for 4 or 5 months. It was amazing.
Over 5 months, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very amazing.
It was very difficult, but you know what? There, nothing comes out of something that's easy. It was very difficult,
yeah.
And some really, it was very hard, and we had a major loss, but I mean, nothing comes out of something that's easy. It was an incredibly beautiful experience too, and we had a lot of really good memories out of it. And I think we proved a lot to ourselves. And
yeah,
it was
interesting because, you know, I'm just so sick and everything, but some days are worse than others. So I basically waited for, like, the day when I felt, like, the least sick. And that was the day we just went for it. I sold my Mustang and I, you know, leased a truck. And so we were ready to go get a trailer. And we just went for it. And fortunately, like, once I get out of, like, the moldy environment, I start to feel somewhat better right off the bat. And, you know, there was Provigil and caffeine involved too, right? So that kind of gave me enough of a boost and focus to help me, drive safely, right? Because, you know, when you're brain fog and stuff like that, that's a real issue. And we managed to do it, but, it's very challenging. But, you know, the thing is...
It was very challenging.
Yeah, once we got on the road, and basically you spend time away from the environment, the moldy environment, and you start to recover somewhat, and that tends to kind of add up over time. But, you know, it was very difficult to drive all the way to Arizona and then go to RV dealerships and negotiate with these RV dealers and try and figure out, you know, what do we need, what's the best price and things like that. And we managed to do it. And,
We did it.
It definitely worked. I mean, when we were out on the road, by the time when we got out to, like, California and, like, Morro Bay and stuff like that,
it was wonderful.
I was making sure to exercise and things like that, and I was getting up to being able to run like a mile a day or more sometimes. I mean, it was very, very hard, but, I just kind of worked up to it, and I'm pretty stubborn about the exercise. And, I was still obviously sick, just less so, and, I was also having some times when I actually felt pretty good, you know, and that's...
Yeah.
That can kind of keep you going, you know.
So, I mean, it's not just the mold. The condition that you have that makes the mold respond to that is... That condition's called what? I mean, it's...
condition... I mean, when you look at my chart, you know, for clinic for me, it just says mold illness. Supposedly I got my genetics tested, and I don't have, I don't know how deep in the weeds you want to go with this, but you can test your genetics to see if you have some genes that might make it so your body has a hard time producing the enzymes to process mycotoxins, right? And if you have those genes, then, you know, mycotoxins can pile up in your system in theory. But that's kind of up for debate, to be honest. I think my understanding is it's probably a little more complex than that, than just like one or two genes, you know, makes you vulnerable if you have them or not. So I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. I just know that... I do better when I'm not in moldy environments. Like, we test our houses. We test basically the dust in houses And we have mold remediators come in and test the air and things like that. And we go by that data, and it all matches up. You know, like the mold, the mycotoxins that were in my urine is the same kind of mycotoxins that come from the toxic mold that was prevalent in our house, you know. As far as conditions, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, since I've already have an MS diagnosis, you know, and I've you know, from doing a lot of research and reading, I mean, it looks like there's definitely autoimmune or immune system components to depression and anxiety, which is something that I've had going on for ever since I was like 12 or 13. So to make a long story short, I would suspect that it's just kind of inherent in my system. Like I'm just kind of wired that way for autoimmune kind of issues.
Yeah,
you know? It's just,
for autoimmune issues. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I am too. That's why we get along. So what is it like to have a girlfriend that has so many autoimmune issues? What's it like to be in a relationship with me?
You know what? I dated a woman that had a lot of autoimmune issues in my last relationship too. And what I would say about that is it's a double-edged sword because the benefit is that you get someone, that understands, you know, that goes through similar things to what you go through, and that to me is worth the struggle that comes in relationships where both people are disabled, because that's the hard part. Because you got two people that are trying to, you know, function as a unit, and both of them have a lot of health problems. And that's tough, right? I mean, you don't drive.
Very tough.
So if we need, if we're not getting help from like our parents or something like that, or anyone else, if it's like you and me, like out on the road or out living somewhere. No, and I don't feel very good.
Yeah,
we don't have anyone
come in to help us, or we don't get government assistance in that fashion. So, as of yet, we have never had that happen. For us, it's very difficult. It's difficult.
People is tough in a relationship. It is. I mean, that's just the
it's tough.
It.
Yeah.
Unbalanced.
And I won't lie. I will say that I'm very disabled, and it's tough. And I've been disabled my entire life, and I won't ever lie about that. Obviously, clearly, I'm going to talk about that from the beginning of my show on. And I think you're awesome. You and your family, you guys have always helped me and supported me, and you have been incredible. And I love you guys, and I'll love you forever, no matter what. And that's pretty much how I feel about everyone who I've been close to, not saying that about relationships, but just about everyone. I adore you, and I always will. I don't know. let me go on and on. But yeah, I love you.
I love you too. I mean, it's been a real journey. It's an interesting thing to go out and pursue and commit to as a disabled person, to go out and deliberately find another disabled person.
That's what I did. I really wasn't trying. But I guess I ended up doing that,
I
did that successfully.
You, so right off the bat, because I had been going out and I wanted a girlfriend, and I was dating, you know, like Calm and all that kind of stuff, plentyoffish.com and all that, and I was going on lots of dates with people that were not disabled, and while some of those dates were okay and most of them weren't that great, but that's probably just the nature of dating, right? I mean, it's especially when you're just kind of dating people off the internet kind of thing. You're not going to really connect with everyone, right? It's work. It's, you know, my friend, and this is kind of like, my friend says it's a numbers game. And that sounds so like cold and calculating, you know, but there's no element of truth to that. It is a numbers game. And I dated about 10 different women before I saw your Facebook group. And I thought you were the catch of all catches within that Facebook group. It was a Facebook dating group for people with MS. And so I thought you were great. So I pursued you. But, you know, the thing was, like, even, like, when I had dates that went, like, kind of well, you know, where it was kind of like, oh, that person's kind of cool, you know, or we've got some things in common, you know, go on a second date or something. The disability thing would come up, you know, because I'm not going to, you know, I prefer to be honest and just get things out of the way because, you know, if you get to, like, the fourth or fifth date, and things are starting to get serious. You're like, oh, by the way, I have MS, you know, and I'm on disability, and I haven't worked in you know, 6 or 7 years. You know, you're on a different life track from most people because most people are, you know, have careers, you know, and that's normal, right? And I'm not on that track, you know, so it's hard, you know. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm sure it does work in a lot of cases. It's just my experience was that after, you know, dating 10 or so different people, you know, I was just ready to go back to what I was doing before, and that was dating a person who had MS like I do, because then the expectations are not for me to, like, kind of emulate a quote-unquote healthy person as best as I could. It was more like, yeah, I get it, you know, you're sick, you have fatigue, you know, you struggle with cognition and this and that, and, you know, maybe you don't have as much money as like most people do, but that's okay because you get it because you're going through it too. And that is, I think it's better for me, you know, it's just my, what I like, you know, what I prefer, basically.
Yeah.
So,
Well, and you were so charming. I mean, and you were such a gentleman, and that's what really got me. I mean, I was bowled over by it, and I still am 5 years later.
Well, that's good to hear.
And except for sometimes.
You mean I'm not always charming, like, every second of the day, like, every day? No, definitely not. I mean, especially, like, have you really been through it with me? Because that's one of the crappy things that comes along with being, like, really inflamed a lot of the time is that, you know, I've got all these, you know, it's kind of changed my personality, like, temporarily. It made me irritable, you know, and, like, very touchy, like, you know, I've got all this adrenaline going through my system all the time, so any noise just, like, is like fingers on a chalkboard, and it's just, I can only imagine how crazy making it would be to be with someone like that, you know, because we're with each other 24/7, because neither of us work. you don't
drive, and I'm too fatigued to do much. A lot of the time, so,
you know, but that does, it's a testament to our relationship that you and I can hang out 24/7, like, week after week, month after month, year after year, and for the most part, it works, you know?
They're friends.
Yeah, you are my best friend, no doubt.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Yeah,
so,
you're my other
half.
Yeah,
it says a lot.
There's a lot of laying around that happens.
Right? I mean, we're seriously, like, on the bed, just lying there, like, reading or napping or, you know, watching TV.
Meditating. Netflixing, meditating, eating.
Yeah.
Or talking. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a very relaxed relationship, especially right now with COVID. We don't do very much, but I mean, it's nice. I mean, I'd like to be going out and doing more, and we have friendships.
I'm getting bored.
We have friends.
it has been slightly boring.
I mean, I like to read, so I have a lot to do technically. But I mean, I miss my friends. I get to talk to them, but still,
But
hopefully it's wonderful because you're very entertaining. Very entertaining. I hope I'm entertaining, and we get to be around each other. So that's wonderful. I miss our little clown. We lost our darling dog daughter Samantha, and I miss her. But that was the loss we had on the road. But it's, you know, life is really hard sometimes, but it's really wonderful. And, I think that we need to celebrate what we can. And we've had, despite, like, everything that we've gone through, we went through so much with the mold and the house and the loss of the house and everything with that. It was humongous. But the one thing that we haven't talked about was that you're on this new medication, and it's called low-dose naltrexone, and you're on it. And what is it like? Tell me more about it before we go.
I like it. I love it, actually. Love is a strong word for medication, but if you can love a medication, it seems a really promising. I've gone to having autoimmune diseases more than one. I had depression and anxiety. I've probably tried like 20 or 30 different medications over the course of my life. And now I basically give up everything, so I'm just trying to get down to basics and just kind of like treat things with more of a kind of just with food and exercise and meditation and to make a long story short, I'm just trying to simplify everything, and just get down to root causes.
Mr. Morris, I just have to tell you that I'm afraid that we have come to the end of our show tonight. I'd like to thank Brain Injury Radio for hosting Mess with MS and other programs about brain injury. If you're listening to the show tonight and you would like to hear more programs, please stay tuned for our next program. It's going to be featuring Joey Giggles. And please tune for my next show, which will be on the 27th. Thank you very much. Thanks, Chris. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Okay, and I hope to have you again, Chris. Okay, bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.